Happy Sabbath. So this sermonette today that I'm going to be giving, I've done this in the past, but I want to direct this more towards the teenagers and to the young adults that are out there. Once again, if you're not a teenager and young adult, you are allowed to listen. But I did want to make this specifically for them. And I want to ask you, I want to talk to you about your friends that you have. And I want to ask, do you have friends in your life? Do you have either one friend or a group of friends that will tell you the truth, even when it can be hard for you to hear that? Do you have a friend that will point out things to you in your life that possibly you are doing wrong or that are possibly causing you harm? Things that may not be healthy for you, things that might be leading you not down the path of becoming more Christ-like, but actually the opposite way. Do you have friends in your life that can help you out with those things, that can help call out those things in your life that maybe you're a little bit blind to in your life? That's the question I want you to think about today as we go through this message, kind of mull it over in your head as we go through the different points we're going to be talking about. But to start off with, go ahead and turn to Proverbs 27, verse 6. We're going to be reading a verse here we're all pretty familiar with, probably. I'm going to be reading from three different translations of this verse because I like the nuances that are provided with each different one. But it's going to be Proverbs 27 and verse 6. So for our New King James Version, it says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." And if we go to the New Living Translation, it says that wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. And then the last one I want to read is from the New International Version. And it says that wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Having somebody in your life that is like this can be something that is so beneficial and something that is so helpful. Somebody in your life that can help you to grow, to help you to see those things that are possibly, once again, that you're going down the wrong path for. But it's hard, right? For me, I think this is one of the hardest things as a human to kind of work with, because none of us want to be told that we're doing things wrong. You know, it's embarrassing at times and can be something that's actually hurtful when somebody brings something to us. You know, but it is something that is absolutely necessary in our lives. And we're going to go through that, and we're going to look at some verses showing how God wants that to be, how it can be a tool to help us to grow and to be better. So what does it mean to wound a friend? What does that actually mean? Well, once again, when we read that, it doesn't sound very good. Like, wounding people is generally thought of as a bad thing. Like, I would not recommend you go stab somebody after church today. But somebody that is a true friend is somebody that is going to be there for you, somebody that is going to be helping you out. And I think when we think about true friends, lots of times what we think about is it's going to be somebody that always has our back, to somebody that always is going to support us. And that is true to an extent, but it doesn't just go that far. It goes beyond that. A friend who is true, a friend who is actually sincere, a friend who is actually honest with you, is going to be the type of friend that is going to bring up your faults and is going to help you to learn from them, because they want the best for you. They want you to get to God's kingdom, and they're going to help you along those way. They want you to grow, and once again, they want you to be a part of God's family. So they're going to do absolutely everything in their power to help you out to be able to get to that. And there's times we can't do it by ourselves. You know, we need to do a lot by ourselves. We need to go out to God. We need to ask for the help from him, have him search us and, you know, help us see the kind of things that we are missing. But a friend is a tool that God has out there that can help us out, to help us to learn things that might be working against us and things, once again, that we may not see. So think about the other side. Think about, you know, when a friend does come to you and does tell you something that you need to be growing on, how do you react when a true friend brings something to your attention? Now, to me, once again, this thing, if you're honest with yourself, and at least for me, I really think this is one of the hardest things in my life to do. It might be my pride that I have, which is very possible. But I think it's one of the hardest things to be able to accept, you know, people bringing up some faults for you. But once again, you know, for the better good, for you to actually learn and for you to actually grow. I think being, you know, a teenager, being a young adult, you're at a time in your life, I think, that is like so exciting, because you're making decisions and you're making choices in your life that are going to, you know, ultimately decide who you're going to be as an adult. And it's awesome. It's a cool thing. That's how this process should be working. And, you know, I think there's some pride that's involved with it. And once again, not a bad pride, but, you know, there's some good pride. Be like, yeah, I'm making these decisions. I'm not only doing what my parents said to me, but I'm using what they showed me and what God has showed me. And I'm making some good decisions in my life. But with that pride, I think also as humans, once again, it's hard for us to want to hear people tell us things that maybe we are weak to or things that maybe we're a little bit blind to. And if somebody tells us about those things, even if they are in love, you know, if they are coming to us in love with that, it's hard. Like it's really hard. I know I've said this a few times, but I really do think it's one of the hardest things that we can do effectively in our lives to really really get that, you know, that feedback from people. You know, nobody loves to be told they're doing something wrong. We all want to be known for we're making the right decisions, we've set out a plan, we're following God, we're doing exactly what we're supposed to do. But we know it's not true. We know it's not true. We know that we all make mistakes in our life. All of us. I make mistakes, you make mistakes, the elders here make mistakes, parents make mistakes. All of us. We all do. We all do in our lives. And that does not make us weak, though, because we make mistakes like that. What does make us weak is if we do not try to grow beyond those, if we do not try to get better from them, if we just try to hide them and, you know, see if nobody is going to actually see them. That's weakness. That is what is actually going to make us weak and not be able to grow. You know, we pray to God and we ask him to help us out, to help us to, you know, find the weaknesses that we have in our life. During the Passover time, you'll probably hear messages saying, you know, you need to go to God so that he can seek within you. We do this. These are things that we ask of God, and it's good. It's something we should be asking for. And like I said before, I think a tool that he gives us to help us out with this is a true friend, that we can have in our lives that can actually help us out to be able to find these things. Now, on the other side, I think a tool that Satan uses is what it talks about in that verse that we read there. I think Satan makes it really comfortable for our minds to be happy to just surround ourselves with friends that are just flatterers. It makes us feel good. We feel really pumped up. I'm like, man, I am doing awesome in my life right now. But they're not helping you grow. And they really don't care about your growth. They really don't care about how you're going to make it on in your life. In the verse, I'm kind of putting some of my own thoughts into this. But as I read that verse, you know, those kind of people that do not have your best interest in mind, that are just flattering you, don't really care about your growth towards God, I think they're kind of like enemies because they're bringing you down. They're not going to be there for you, you know, when you need that type of help. So we need to ask ourselves, what type of friends do we surround ourselves with? What type of friends have you decided to have within your life? Do you have those type of friends that have the best interest for you in your life, that are going to look out for you? And once again, they're not trying to be mean, but they're doing it out of love so that you can grow to be the best that you absolutely can be. And if you think about it, if you think like, do I have a group I can go to or do I have a friend? And the answer is no. It's okay. But now is the time, though. Now is the time in your life that you need to make a decision and ask God to bring those people into your life, to seek those people out in your life that'll be that true friendship for you. Because it is something that God has said that we need to have inside of our lives. And it's something that we need to pray about. And if you ultimately do find a partner, if you ultimately do get married in your life, or if you are already married, this is something that I think is so valuable. So, you know, my wife, thankfully, she will call me out on things, you know, that I have. And it's still hard for me. She'll come and tell me something. And I'm like, ugh. Because once again, I want to be like the husband and the father of the family and doing every single thing right. But she knows that for me, if she comes and tells me these things that I need a minute, she'll bring them up to me. And then she'll kind of back away a little bit because I personally need to think about it for a minute. And then after I've gone through my thoughts, then I'm able to appreciate that a lot more. And I'm able to see, okay, she's right. This is something, you know, that I do need to change in my life. So when you're looking for a partner, look for somebody like that. Look for somebody that has your best interests in mind. And it's so cool. When you have a friend or if you have a partner where they are open to that, like my wife knows that I need that time, or if you have a friend that knows that you need that time, or you can tell them, hey, I'd much appreciate if you would send this to me in a text so that I can read it and not be in person, or if it'd be better in person. If you can have that open conversation with a friend so that everything is out in the open, so that you know exactly, you know, how to speak with each other, it is a wonderful blessing. It's an absolutely wonderful blessing to have in your life. And once again, if that's not something you have in your life right now, seek that out. Ask God to provide that for you in your life. And like in the example that I said of my wife, like I'm so thankful. Like I trust her. I trust her when she brings those things to me. And once again, it's a big deal. It's a big deal to be able to say that and to be able to feel that. And then what about us? Can we be the type of friends that can be sincere to other people? So we need those friends in our life, but can we be the people that are going to be bringing up faults and going to be bringing things up to our friends? Now, to be clear, we don't want to just always be looking for faults in people. We don't want to just like be staring at our friends and be like, man, that person doesn't walk right. That person isn't doing this right. We don't want to be looking at it that way. Instead, though, we need to be there so that we can help them to grow to be more like God, to be more Christ-like. And if you do that all the time, if you're just being nitpicky about things, it's going to get real tiresome. It's going to get tiresome for you. It's going to get tiresome for your friend. And it's probably going to make your friendship not so good. But if you are that true friend, if you are that honest friend in their life, you are going to be there and you're going to help them. You're not going to stand by when you see them taking actions that are bringing them down a wrong path, because that is what love is, that we need to help them out with that path. Let's go ahead and turn to Ecclesiastes. We're going to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And we're going to be looking in verse 12. So Ecclesiastes chapter 4 in verse 12. In this one, I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. I really like the way that it words this and it translated in this translation. But it, once again, Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12, it says that a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Man, I love this verse. I love, you know, the kind of the mental image that it has, you know, somebody attacking and how you're so much better than if you are by yourself. And these friends that are there talking about here, or these people that are standing together, they are the ones that are helping each other out. They are the ones that are going to help people to grow and to become more Christ-like in their lives. They are not just those flatterers. Because once again, if they are those flatterers, they don't really care about, you know, what you're doing in your life. And I want to say flattering's great. We should be flattering our friends. But when I'm saying just flatterers, I mean the people, that's all they do. That's the only thing that they do in their life. And if you get into a battle, Satan comes to attack you, and all you have surrounded yourself is with people that are flatterers like that and nothing else, they're going to leave. They're going to leave you alone. You're going to be there by yourself, and you're going to more easily fall because of that. So make sure that you are ready for those battles so that you can surround yourself with the people that you need in your life. All right, let's turn to one last verse here. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4. I'm hitting all the e-books. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look in verse 15. So it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Guys, this is it. This is the directive that we are given right here, that we are supposed to be speaking that truth in love. And once again, as humans, I know it is hard. Believe me, I've been married to my wife almost 25 years, and I still need that minute after she tells me something, because it's still hard for me to hear it. But it is something that I do appreciate. But the Bible tells us that this is a tool. This is a directive that we need to do, that we need to speak with each other in love so that we can all grow to be in God's kingdom. It's absolutely something that all of us in this room, your friends, the people that you surround yourself, should be doing so that we can all hopefully make it into God's family. And I think it's something we need to think about more often. I think it's easy to kind of read this verse and to go over it, but not really think about how you practice it in your lives, or how, if you actually do this for other people, or allow people to do it to us. So the ones that love us the most, they are going to be the ones that are there to help us. They are going to be the ones that are going to help us to get into God's kingdom, the ones that are there to help us to grow, the ones that want the best for us, the ones that will call out something if we're kind of backsliding and not doing something that they know is going to be right. So let's make sure that we have those friends that are around us. Let's make sure that we surround ourselves with those types of friends. And also, let's make sure that we can be those friends to others as well.